الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. نويت سنة الاعتكاف. Dear brothers in Islam, there are many virtues in relation to sending salawat upon the best of creation, our beloved master, our savior, our intercessor, Sayyiduna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In one narration, which is found in Kanzul Ummal, hadith number 2226, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Man sarrahu an yalqa Allaha ghadan radiya falyukthir as-salata alayya. Whoever would like to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow, meaning the Day of Judgment, in such a state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with him, then what should he do? فَلْيُكْثِرِ الصَّلَاةَ عَلَيَّ. He should send salat upon me in abundance, with kathra, numerous times. So subhanallah, if you ask any believer, any person with a sound mind who's saying that, do you want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that Allah is happy and pleased with you? And he will say straight away, of course. What kind of question is that? Of course I do. And here in this hadith, we're told by the Prophet alayhi salam that the one who yearns for this, what should he do? He should recite Salat ala Nabi in abundance. May Allah ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq to express our love for the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by remembering him in abundance. And how do we remember him? By sending salat upon him. There's so many different ways. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, sallallahu ala Muhammad, as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Pick any durood sharif, any version, any way of reciting salat that is easy for you, and recite this in abundance. Inshallah, where you will attain so many other fawaid and benefits, you will meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state that Allah is pleased with you, inshallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. A great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the name of Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. He was delivering a sermon, a khutbah, in a gathering, when all of a sudden a beggar who was worthy, who was deserving of being given something, meaning he was not somebody who had wealth but was just begging for the sake of it, he actually qualified to be given something. Remember, Islamically speaking, Shara'an, not everyone is allowed to beg. And in fact, there are many warnings in Ahadith Karima regarding those who beg without any reason. So this person who came past by the gathering of Sayyiduna Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi alayhi, he was actually allowed to beg, Shara'an. He was in that state of destitution. Now, what did this beggar say? He said, I would like 4 dirhams. 4 dirhams is what he wanted. And Sayyiduna Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi announced that I will make 4 du'as for the person who gives him 4 dirhams. He's delivering a khutbah, he's delivering a lecture. When a beggar walks by, he asks for 4 dirhams. What does this saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He addresses the crowd and he says, whoever gives him 4 dirhams, I will make 4 du'as for him. What happened? A servant, a ghulam, happened to pass by. And when he heard this announcement of the great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, I will give it. I will give the 4 dirhams. So he gave the 4 dirhams. This was all he had, subhanallah. This was all he had, but he gave it to that beggar. Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi alayhi said to him, what 4 du'as should I make for you? What 4 du'as should I make for you? Now listen very carefully to these du'as, because if we were in that situation, if a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered us and said to us, I'll make 4 du'as for you, 99.9% of people will probably just make du'a or ask for du'a for the dunya. Maal, shuhra, fame, status, rank. Listen to what the slave, the servant, the ghulam asked for. The ghulam said, make dua firstly that I am free from my servitude. That I am no longer a slave of my master, number one. Secondly, make dua that I receive a good return for giving these dirhams to this person. Meaning Allah blesses me from his court. Thirdly, make dua that me and my aqa, my master, I am the slave, he is the master, dunyawi, in terms of the world. Do dua that both of us are given the tawfiq, the ability to do tawbah, repent in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, the fourth dua, do dua that me, my master, and all those people who are attending the gathering right now, you can imagine it was a big gathering. The saint of Allah, Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar, was heading that gathering, was delivering the khutbah, the sermon. So it must have been a large gathering. He said, make dua that me, my master, and all of the people here in attendance are granted forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the 4 du'as. Sayyidina Mansur bin Ammar rahmatullahi alayhi raised his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made each of these du'as that were mentioned. 4 du'as in total were mentioned. He made du'a for all 4 to be accepted. When the servant reached home, he was a bit late because he attended the gathering. He stopped off at the gathering. He helped this beggar. And we just heard what happened. He requested du'as from the great saint of Allah, Mansur bin Ammar. But his master didn't know that. So he said, why did you come home late? Tell me. Normally you're not this late. What's the reason? The slave, the servant, he told him. He told the master, this is what happened. And I requested 4 du'as to be made. The master said, tell me, what are those du'as? What are those 4 du'as that you requested the saint of Allah to make for you? In exchange for the 4 dirhams that you gave to the beggar. He said, firstly, I asked the saint to do dua for me to be free from servitude, that I'm no longer a slave. The master said immediately, you are no longer a slave. Meaning I freed you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First dua is accepted. Then he said, the second dua, what was it? He replied, the second dua was that I be given a good return, recompense for the 4 dirhams that I gave. The 4 dirhams were all he had in his possession. So that was selfless of him. Sacrifice. He gave preference to that beggar over himself, gave all his possessions to him. The master replied immediately and he said, I am giving you 4,000 dirhams in return. He gave 4 dirhams and the master has just given him 4,000 dirhams in return. The second dua is accepted as well. He asked about the third dua. He said, the third dua, the request I made was, may Allah give me and my master, meaning the slave and the master, the ability to repent, to do tawbah. As soon as he mentioned the third dua, the master began to utter phrases of tawbah, astaghfirullah and the like, that may Allah forgive me, etc. I repent to Allah for all my sins. So that was the third dua accepted. And now the master says that the three things that I could have done, I've done them. I freed you. I gave you a recompense for your 4 dirhams. I gave you 4,000 dirhams in return. You did dua that me and you gained the tawfiq to do tawbah. I've just done tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth dua, what was it? The servant told him that the dua was that me, my master, all of the attendees are forgiven. The master says, this one is not in my control. I can't forgive myself, can I? Allah ta'ala is the one who forgives. So, I've done what I could do. But the fourth dua, that's not within my ikhtiyar, my authority. What happened? Later, it's mentioned that the master had a dream, a vision. And in that dream, he was given the glad tidings that you carried out what you were capable of, but I, Arhamur Rahimeen, I am Arhamur Rahimeen, the most merciful. I have forgiven you, your servant, Mansur, who was the saint of Allah who made the du'as initially, and all the attendees of the gathering as well. Allah Ta'ala granted this glad tiding to the master of that slave. Now, subhanAllah, this was an account mentioned in Rawdul Riyaheen. Now, what do we learn from that? When you do things for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rewards are immense. And we also learn that the saints of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should seek out their du'as. Yes, we should make du'as for ourselves as well. But why do we ask pious people to make du'a for us? Because it's our husnul dhan, it's our positive assumption regarding them that they are qareeb towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have proximity towards the court of Allah azza wa jal. Think about it. On the one hand, you have a saint of Allah, a wali of Allah, who's an alim of the deen, who's an amil of his knowledge. He acts upon his knowledge. Fasts during the day, prays in the night. He delivers lectures and it penetrates the hearts of people. Allah Ta'ala has given him ta'thir, efficacy in his words. He has ikhlas in his heart. Allah Ta'ala has granted him a maqam amongst people. The hadith states that when Allah loves someone, he announces it in the heavens to the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam and the likes. And his acceptance is first made known in the heavens and then on the earth. تُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. So then acceptance is given for that person on the earth. First in the heavens, then on the earth. So when a person is of this status, is of this rank, he's pious, he's righteous, he's close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's humbleness, of course, but it's also the reality that we look at that person and say, this person has qurba towards the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That does not mean I stop praying for myself. That does not mean I don't make the du'as that are mentioned in the sunnah. Of course not. We don't abandon any of those things. In fact, the awliya should inspire us to become more pious. And they do as well. When we sit in the suhbah, the company of the awliya, the righteous, those who have this proximity to the court of Allah, those who spend their days and nights in ita'a, obedience, those who refrain from prohibitions and muharramat, haram actions. But when you sit with them, they have an effect on you as well. Most definitely. Why? Because the hadith tells us, as-suhbatu mu'athira. That companionship has an effect. If you have good company, that will rub off on you, you'll also become good. Conversely, opposite to this, if you have bad company, slowly, gradually, they will impact you, that bad company will, and before you know it, you also become bad and involved and engaged in evil actions as well. So we learn from this account that we should ask the awliyaullah, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and those who are alive amongst us, there's awliya in every age. We should seek them out and we should ask them to do dua for us. With this husnul dhan, that when they do dua from their pure tongue, which is free from backbiting, free from lying, free from, their hearts are free from jealousy, free from enmity. When these people who are human in form, but in characteristic, they're like the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that the angels do not disobey Allah, and the righteous, the Salihin, do not disobey Allah, then inshallah when we request them for du'as, the du'as will be accepted. And this is a tradition, you could say, this is the way of the believers. They take their kids to pious people, they ask the pious people to do dam upon them, to blow, recite some kalimat, blow upon them and the likes. This should continue, this is a very good action. And this account also told us that giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only bring blessings. There's one hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam took an oath, took a qasam upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nowadays people take a qasam for no reason, it's just become part of their speech. Some people cannot a few sentences together without taking a qasam. But when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam takes a qasam upon Allah, you know it's very important. The Prophet alayhi salam was not someone who would just habitually take a qasam upon Allah. The Prophet alayhi salam said, by Allah, ma naqasat sadaqatum min malin. That sadaqa does not reduce wealth. Sadaqa does not reduce wealth. This is unfortunate in this day and age where people, when they give, they think 10 times before giving. Stinginess appears in the heart, miserliness, greed, avarice, all of these things, which are diseases of the heart. Whereas the Salihin, the pious, say that when you intend to do a good action, don't delay. Because shaitan and nafs will place so many thoughts in your minds, and before you know it, what you initially intended to carry out, either you didn't do it wholly, totally, or you did half of it. Someone might say, I still did good, but what was the initial intention? Just say, someone had an intention that I would like to give £20 towards a charitable cause, and he didn't do it immediately. He delayed it, and then nafs shaitana with him, and then he ends up giving £10. And he says to himself that at least I still gave £10. But if you were to analyze that, the way the awliyaullah, the salihin, look at a situation like that, you still suffered loss in that, you would have gained more reward for giving £20, your initial intention. So shaitan and nafs have gained somewhat of a victory over you. So whenever you intend to do something good, don't delay. No ta'khir in that regard. And we also learn from this account that subhanallah, those who selflessly give, they're in hardship themselves, like the servant was, when they give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those in need, Allah ta'ala rewards them immensely. He gave 4 dirhams, what did he receive in return? 4,000 dirhams. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also grant us tawfiq to give in his way, to help the needy, to help those who need us to give them monetary donations. In this regard, the Quran tells us the sifat of the believers, the pious believers. Hudallil muttaqeen. In Surah Baqarah, right at the beginning, Allah Ta'ala talks about the muttaqeen, the pious. And then some sifat are mentioned. Alladheena yu'minuna bil ghayb. Those who believe in the unseen. They believe in paradise. They believe in the akhirah. They believe in the angels. They believe in jinn, etc. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. And they establish salah, the pious people. And here this verse does not mean that you offer salah once and then don't offer it for 5 days. Here it means steadfastly, that somebody who reads all his 5 daily salah is considered someone who acts upon this verse of the Quran. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. Otherwise, if it's 2 here, missed 5 here, missed 3 here, for how long will that continue? The maqsad of this dunya and this zindagi, this life that we have been given, is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we're neglecting that because of our other engagements, then we can't see that as an accomplishment. That at least I've done a few here and there. Every time someone misses his salah, he's committed a sin. So how can it be an achievement if you've read 2 but missed 5? This is another thing that you should keep trying. Keep trying, keep trying, never give up. But the aim is to become steadfast in offering salah. And then the key part of the verse which we are focusing upon in this bayan, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that the pious are those who spend from what we have given them. Because if you think about it, حَقِيقَةً, in reality, we're not owners of anything in the dunya. This is just metaphorically, figuratively, majazan. The real owner, the haqiqi owner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ For him is the dominion, the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we are owners, metaphorically, for 50 years, 70 years, 80 years, that shouldn't make us become arrogant or develop any such negative traits. And here Allah ta'ala is telling us, وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And they spend from what we have given them. Allah Ta'ala is the one who provides, who nourishes, who sustains. He is the one who grants us all. Now when He has given us what is the requirement, what is the taqaza that we give in the way of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Here in the tafsir of this verse, the scholars of Islam have said that here all forms of charity are included. Whether that's obligatory forms like zakat, or wajib forms like Sadaqatul Fitr, giving Qurbani, the likes, and even voluntary donations as well, Sadaqa Nafila. All of these are included in the verse. So the Muttaqeen are those who fulfill their obligations in terms of charity, who fulfill their wajibat, and then they go beyond that. Anytime there is a cause, there is a need, where Muslims need our support, our help, they also give voluntarily as well. So this is the aim, that when we have wealth, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us, we should give in His way. In another verse of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala tells us that if you want to attain true success, everybody today wants success. Kamyabi, falah. Everybody wants to be successful. Do you know what our Creator Allah Azza wa Jal has said in the Quran about success and how to actually attain it? Allah Ta'ala has said, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ Do you want success? Let me tell you. You will never attain success until you spend from those things which you love. Meaning whether that's maal, whether that's anything. A maal is mainly that thing which people become attached to. After all, it's because of maal that people, ma'adhullah, go to the extent of murdering others, killing others, bloodshed, taking others' lives, land, etc. So foremost, this verse of the Quran is referring to maal. Now, Allah Ta'ala is saying you won't ever attain true success until you spend from that which you love. Let's see how the aslaf, how the pious predecessors acted upon this verse. Sayyiduna Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala, Khalifatul Muslimin. Subhanallah, what would he do? He would have sacks of brown sugar donated in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was his maal, his wealth, and he would donate those sacks of brown sugar. Someone said to him, Huzoor, why don't you just give the monetary value? However much it costs, this sack of brown sugar or these sacks of brown sugar, give them in charity. Listen to what he said. He said, the verse of the Quran says, give what you love in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And brown sugar is something I use daily. I use it in my life and it's beloved to me. So as a practical example of acting upon this verse, Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiyallahu ta'ala would give sacks of brown sugar in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is how our pious predecessors, rahmatullahi alayhim ajma'in, when they would read a verse of the Quran, they would understand the verse of the Quran. This is how they would implement it in their lives as well. So this is what we need to also do, inshallah. Now one account, and this is as a reminder, Al-Quran Al-Kareem tells us, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Remind, because reminding benefits the believers. We all need reminding. We forget, we err, we sin, we do wrong, we have many shortcomings. We're not prophets, alayhi wasalam. We're not angels. We commit sin. And the best of sinners are those who do tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we're talking about maal and giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we also discussed how stinginess, bukhl, this creeps into the heart as well. And giving charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally speaking, is hard for the people. In one narration, we're told when you give charity, you're actually tearing through 70 jaws of shaitan to give charity in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that's how much resistance you have to meet from shaitan. And this account, inshallah, will serve as a reminder for me, for you, for everyone. Inshallah, even the viewers who are watching. Sayyiduna Yazid bin Maysara, rahmatullahi alayhi. He mentions, this account is in Uyunul Hikayat, the 5th century scholar, Allama Abul Faraj Ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullahi alayhi, has mentioned this in Uyunul Hikayat. He says, someone from the previous nations, previous umam, not al-ummatul Muhammadiyah, he once collected a huge amount of wealth. A huge amount of wealth. And he had offspring as well, many children, family members. So there came a time where he said, I've got all of this wealth. Now I'm going to relax. I'm going to live a luxurious life. And he did so. There was a stage where he had so many servants at his beck and call. He just had to click his fingers. He just had to call out and they were there to serve him, ever ready. One day what happened, there was a knock on the door. The servant opened the door. And the angel of death, Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam, was present. The servant didn't know, of course. The servant said, how can I help you? The servant thought it was just a beggar. Said, I would like to speak to the king, to the owner of the house. Call him out, we have something to discuss. And the servant began to make excuses. Other servants gathered as well and said, oh, he's busy. You won't be able to speak to him at this moment in time. And go to the next house, go somewhere else. Somebody else will give you something. Then the angel of death, Sayyiduna Israel alayhi salam, he introduced himself and he said, I am the angel of death and I've come to take his soul. Now the owner, when this news was relayed to him, you can imagine he was shocked, scared for his life. And he told the servants, tell him, speak to him gently, say to him, can you not delay it? He said, no. The hukum has come and I am here to take the soul. Now, when this was the case, when this actually was relayed to the owner, he said, bring me all my mal, bring me all my wealth. All of his wealth was gathered, praised before him. And he began to curse that very same wealth. Began to say, because of you, I didn't prepare for my death. Because of you, I lived a life of negligence and ghafla, heedlessness, because of you. Allah Ta'ala, who's all powerful, gave that mal the ability to speak. The mal said, why are you cursing us? It was your decisions. It was you who had control over everything. Why are you blaming us? You spent us on haram. You spent your life in sin and indulging in wrongful activities. Today, how are you even blaming the wealth? How can you do this? You had ikhtiyar. You had free will given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this account, so many points can be taken out from this. But in relation to our bayan, we're speaking about giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever it's needed. There's so many causes, there's so many charitable causes, so many places where our wealth could be given. We could help the ummah, serve the ummah. But do we do so? Or do we rely on others? Someone else will come along and he'll give. I'm okay. So this is something that we should consider. Allah ta'ala has given us wealth and we should spend from that wealth. At times it's obligatory fard, at times it's wajib. And then even if you fulfill your obligations and your wajibat, your hukuk, then give voluntary in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Invest in your akhirah. A great scholar of the past, Allama Maturidi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he advises, he says, when you give charity, you should give it through the hands of your children, your atfal, your young children. And he explains the hikmah behind that. He says, when you give through the hands of your children, they're young, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8. They're young. They'll become habitual in giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're going to give anyway. Give it through their hands. So when they grow up, they know that we must continue this. This is what we've always done. We need to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this applies to many other things as well. The famous example of salah is given. that if you want your children to become habitual in salah, then offer your 5 daily salah. Your children should be able to see you offering your namaz, especially their mothers at home. And when they are of the right age, the father should bring them to the masajid and they should offer salah. That way the child will know that this is something that has to be done. There's so much importance attached to this. If on the other hand, the child is not seeing salah being offered, the child is not seeing charity being given, in fact, he sees, ma'adallah, an aversion to ibadat, refraining from ibadat, turning away from the worship of Allah. He sees in the household how charity, let alone charity, money is being spent on impermissible causes, wrongful things, then he's going to pick up those habits. And then it's going to be too late when he's already implementing those bad habits that he's picked up. So we, as parents, have to start from home. The whole bayan we heard today was regarding giving in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the importance of that. If you want to be included amongst those who are muttaqeen, pious believers in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Quran says you must spend in the way of Allah azza wa jal. This wealth, you're not going to take it with you. This wealth will remain behind. And in fact, the wise people even say that when you leave it behind, if you haven't done tarbiyah of your kids, your offspring, they're going to end up fighting over it. The wealth becomes a curse. And we see that so many times in people's families. And then they come and they ask about masail, that so-and-so has taken this part of the land, and so-and-so has done this, and so-and-so has done that. How do we resolve it? It's very hard to give guidance there because the elders never thought about that. They just thought about hal mim mazid. How do we increase? Is there any more for us to accumulate? Not thinking that wealth is a big fitna. The Quran tells us, "Innama amwalukum wa auladukum fitna." That your wealth, your children are a great test, tribulation. So, this is the message we leave you with today. That give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give towards needy causes, give where Muslims will benefit the most. Inshallah, you will be rewarded in full for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will reward you, not any dunyawi person. Allah Ta'ala has said He will reward you. Allah Ta'ala has said He will increase. There's so many bisharat in the Quran. If you begin to mention the ayat, we'd be here for a lot longer. But when Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has said it, and we believe our Lord is all truthful, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَدِيثًا, who is more truthful in speech than Allah? Nobody. Allah Ta'ala never lies. Then when we know this is the case, why do we hesitate? Why do we hesitate? The reason is because our eyes are only set on this dunya. Whereas this dunya is only 50 years, 70 years, 80 years for a person. The akhirah is eternal and forever for a believer in the gardens of paradise, inshallah. Give wholeheartedly in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see the blessings of that in the dunya and more importantly in the akhirah as well. May Allah ta'ala enable us to remember and act upon what has been said. Ameen. Bijahi khatamin nabiyyin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. May da'wat-e islami be glorious in every corner of the world for the sake of Medina. We are calling upon you.